And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
On the beach, the only place to read your emails and tweets. It's the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. I'm J.E. Skeets. Hashtag full squad. We got the homie Tass Mellis.
What's up, everybody?
What's up, Tass? Got my top shot hot boy, Phil Freak, Trey Kirby.
Hey-o!
Hey-yo! The international man of mystery, taking it to the max, Lee Ellis.
Friends.
And finally, the man making the magic happen. It's J.D.
Hello.
There he is. Here we are. Keep your NBA and your non-NBA questions coming. Email them in nodunks@theathletic.com or tweet them in at nodunksinc, or leave them under this video on YouTube down in the comments section. Bit of a twist to today's Beach Steppin' podcast, this summer version here. Every question sponsor-related because, Tass, I don't know, people, I guess, are just inspired by all of our ad reads, and we get so many questions about some of the products that we've pitched before on the show or ones maybe in the future, and there's just like a lot of cues sort of spinning off of that.
No doubt, nobody integrates brands like us. Nobody sells out quite like us.
That's right.
We do a good job. So yeah, we've got some good cues. I'll start us off here. Hey, No Dunks crew. Recently, I've been listening to the ad reads, and no product has had me sold quite like Magic Spoon has. Hearing JD's proclamation that the cereal stays crunchy the whole time blew my mind. But alas, I live in Europe and don't have access to that sweet, sweet, delicious, healthy, protein-rich Magic cereal. So my question is, what advertised product have you always wanted to try? Pumpernickels, Chef's Cry, Tossum. That's from Casey in Ireland.
Okay, so this doesn't have to be a product that we've, like, advertised or pitched on the show, right? Because for the most part, we actually, you know, we get hooked up with a lot of it. Got to try it before you talk
about
it.
Not to brag, not to brag.
Yeah, I've had some water shipped to my house. I've had some cereal shipped my way, the odd shirt. I missed out on a mattress. I'm not complaining. Okay, that's good, because I'll be real Phil Swift with my answer, and I'm going to go with Flex Seal products, okay? Specifically, the Flex Tape has me intrigued. They claim it's a super strong waterproof tape that can instantly patch, bond, seal virtually anything they say. It even works underwater. You know, I hope one day TK does get that boat and that I accidentally puncture a hole in the bottom of that boat, but I say, it's okay, I got some Flex tape, let's try this out. But man, there's a lot of Flex products, guys. Flex paste, Flex seal liquid, Flex tape, the one I'm talking about, Flex glue, and Flex shot. Phil Swift, man, what a company he's running.
Damn, this guy's seriously flexing out here.
He's flexing, yeah.
I didn't know the Flexiverse was so deep. This is incredible. This was my number one choice as well, Skeets. Because the commercial, yeah, we gotta order some of this. We gotta order the whole suite of Flex Seal products because the infomercial is awesome. The slap on the side of the huge thing of water to stop it, amazing. And like you're saying, they straight up saw a boat in half for this, right? They saw a boat in half and put it back together, and it allegedly works. I would love to see it in person.
Yeah, and
gotta get a boat, gotta cut it in half. Got to get that Flex Seal.
Don't they have another version too when they're just showing off? He's flexing hard, Phil Swift is. he uses like a screen door for the bottom of the boat.
That's a great.
And then
point,
they just
man.
Slap that liquid seal on it, and it just like waterproofs it up, and it's like you know, now it's like a base. So yeah, okay, I can't believe you have the same damn.
It looks crazy. It looks crazy that it would possibly seal water, but I have used one of their products for a water-based problem. Now it's not a boat or anything, but when I had that basketball net that I tried to give to Trey Kirby, but somebody else picked it up off this off the sidewalk when it was really 90% on my lawn and 10% on my sidewalk. Somebody scooped it up. Yeah. The base did have a hole in it, and I flex sealed it, and it worked.
Wow. Which one did you use? Do you remember? Paste, seal, shot, glue?
I think it was a shot.
Okay. Yeah, so it must have been a smaller hole. It wasn't that big, I assume.
Yeah, it was a small hole. You poke it yourself. Yeah, but I felt like a master cocker using that thing. Like it was, so it was nice. It was a nice product. I gotta admit. My base was on an angle, so all the weight was going towards the front of the product, and that's why it cracked open, or the front of the base, I should say, and that's why it cracked open. But then the Flex Seal, boom.
They're not even paying us.
They're not even paying us yet.
Yeah, no, not yet. That's the point of this. Hopefully. Master Cocker could be an ED ad read, too.
Yeah. No, actually that's one of my friends growing up. His dad did a lot of cocking, and we called him Master Cocker.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. That's cool. Yeah. Okay, well, we got two of us going with incredibly the Flex Seal products. Lee, what do you have for something you've seen advertised that you always wanted to try?
He's good at it.
I always see this at near the Atlanta airport when I go out there, and I always want to do it. It's buying an extreme experience for your friend, like to drive a Porsche or a Ferrari or something around a racetrack. I think that would be an awesome experience because, you know, when you buy a present for a friend, sometimes you're like, what am I gonna buy this guy? You know, like a bottle of wine, you know, like this, I think actually an experience like this is something that like I would love to do. I would love that as a present if anyone ever wanted to buy that for me, especially if you could pick your car, you know, like, wouldn't it be awesome? I mean, I don't think you can ever go around in like a Formula One car, but I think you can go around in like the Formula Threes, and they're modified, of course, because you're not ripping around at, you know, 280 kilometers an hour.
Got to sit
think,
on Max Verstappen's lap for him to take the track.
I mean, wouldn't that be awesome if you could go in the car there with Max or Lewis or some, one of those guys and just go around one lap of a Formula One circuit at that like high speed like that. That would be awesome. So
I think has done this before, maybe even here in Georgia. Is that right?
No, I've never done it here. I did it back home, but and it wasn't Formula One, but it was that style of car. It was pretty. I can't remember the horsepower, but it was awesome. My brother got it for me for my birthday, and it was.
There you go.
It was incredible. The best gift I've ever gotten. Gift. So you're right on the money, Lee. Right on.
The best gift you've ever gotten was that experience.
The best gift I ever got.
Crap. This guy likes cars, man. No wonder we're doing a fast experience.
That Porsche dealership right by the airport there. Yep. It's got the track. As soon as you drive to the airport, you see it on the side of the road. Yeah, that's what it's there for.
Yeah.
How much do you think that's going for, Lee? Have you looked into it? What are we talking about? What's an experience? $300?
Yeah, I think it's sort of $250 to $300 for like a 15-minute,
15-minute? That's it?
I think so. Yeah, I think it's. I don't think it's very long.
Car's fast, man.
I guess. Feels like it would be an hour experience. time you got your suit on, your helmet.
Well, I mean 15 minutes on the track. I think there's probably... You know, it's probably like a half an hour, 45-minute training, and just like, okay, listen, you're not Lewis Hamilton. Let's just not forget that. Right?
The thing is, you're
that's
not part of
it. Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Just don't kill yourself or anybody else or wreck the car.
Yeah.
All right, enjoy yourself. Okay.
Yeah.
One I did was like a half a day. It was four hours.
See,
I think. So it was like an hour and a half in the classroom, just getting ready, like just learning about the car and learning how to go around the track and basically prepare for a race. And then we got two races out of it, which was awesome. Like,
wow. So you're not actually. They don't have 10 cars out there at the same time, and you're legit racing like go-karts. It's timed, I assume.
No, it was like 5 cars, I think, on the track, and we were sort of racing. And that's sort of why the beginning of it was so intensive, because they wanted to make sure that you would be able to safely pass somebody and, you know, that kind of thing. But it was cool. It was awesome. I would do it again in a heartbeat.
So what'd you finish?
That's a great question. I wasn't, that's the other thing. I was like, all I wanted to do was pass my brother, which I did.
Oh, he was there too. Oh, that's cool. Yeah. Yeah.
So, and then, but then he immediately passed me because I spun out off the road kind of thing. It was awesome, man. It was awesome.
All right, cool. Tess, do you have a product?
Not as cool as that, but yeah, I've seen this advertisement come up in the old Instagram ads, Base Bar. It's a workout product endorsed by MMA fighter George St. Pierre with hair. George St. Pierre has hair now. Yeah. So he's behind this product, and I like pulling myself up. I like doing pull-ups every once in a while, and I don't really have a doorway for it. So that's why George St. Pierre's product here, which is just a... something you just build yourself. You can stretch on it as well. Ooh. If you feel like it. George can put it together. Yeah, and then cool. He can stand behind it and look really cool. And then there's like IKEA furniture in the photo. I have IKEA furniture. I should have a Base Bar. So yeah, I think this is I buy something that's endorsed by George St. Pierre.
Right.
He's a truthful man. He's not going to screw you. I don't think this thing is just going to topple over. So GSP.
What it's called? What was it called? Base Blocks.
Base Bar.
Base Bar. That makes more sense. It said Base yep. Blocks on there. What the heck? Oh, getting some reps in with a giant sub. That's all you need. That's the only equipment you really need, isn't it? You don't need this other stuff.
Yeah, work out.
Fancy gym equipment.
Yeah, work out. Then eat what you just used to work out. That's the way to do it.
Base Bar. Get your protein. All right. Next question here. Hey, No Shaves. How is it that a podcast where everybody looks like they lost their ability to shave has the best Manscaped ads ever? My question, what NBA player had, or currently has, an endorsement deal that makes absolutely no sense? P.S. This email was made with Grammarly. Turn in, sleep a while, awesome. That's from Emil. So Trey, that's a fun question. What, maybe one from the past or one currently, it's like just a weird endorsement between the player and the product?
You know, looking at him and looking at how his career turned out, you can certainly see why Karl Malone endorsed Rogaine. But to me, that is still the funniest advertisement in the history of professional sports. A current athlete advertising a hair loss supplement. I love it, especially considering at that time, on top of the world, perhaps the most famous and popular person on earth was Michael Jordan, who was making bald beautiful. Basically, everybody's like, hey, we're going bald. We're right. Shaving heads. We don't need any hair up here. Look at Right Said Fred. That was two guys who both went bald, and they were both too sexy for their shirts and for their hair. But Karl Malone was like, no way, not me. I'm wearing my LA gears, and I'm keeping this little bit of hair I have. But even eventually, Karl Malone was like, what am I doing? What am I doing pitching Rogaine here? Give me the razor. And then he went bald, just like everybody else in the early 90s to 2000s.
Yeah, that's a good one. I forgot about that one, that he was pitching that for a little bit there. Okay. Tass, what do you got?
Well, I got to go to the Raptors. I got to go to Hedo Turkoglu. After signing what was and still is the biggest free agent signing in the franchise's history, the Raps hooked him up with their pizza chain, Pizza.
That's right.
And then he got fat and out of shape. So he started... Yeah, terrible. So he started doing these commercials where Jay Triano, the head coach, would call him, and he was apparently doing scouting, but he was also eating pizza at the same time. It went terrible. Horrendous. Five-year contract, the prize catch of the 2009 free agent crop. You know, of all the teams, the Raptors got him, and then he got fat... Literally, he got fat and decided that, I had my best year last year. You guys paid me a boatload of money. I'm done. I'm just going to sit back and eat my pizza. It's like a sketch. It really is a sketch. Yeah. Like this endorsement, and he's not only huffing on pizza in this commercial, he's eating plenty, but he's also drinking Sprite. Yeah. I mean, it's too perfect.
Shout out to the Sprite Zone, though, up in the 300s at the ACC.
Yeah, I don't think he got paid for this at all, really. I think it's just...
gave him pizza?
Yeah, he gave him pizza. I mean, it sort of just comes along with the team.
Yeah, that's true. It was this a tie-in with the squad, maybe. But that's good. It's a great, great commercial. Classic commercials. Look it up if you haven't seen those. I assume they're... Did you pull that from online? I guess it's got to be on YouTube.
Sure did. Yeah. It's one of the 10 worst endorsements in player history. That's the title of the video.
Nice.
You know, one of those.
Doing a little research for this. I like it. Lee, where are you going with?
Well, mine's actually similar in it's a food endorsement. And I don't know if you remember when LeBron James was probably maybe 10 years ago now, he was at, after a shoot around, someone said, when did you start really focusing on your body? And he was like, yeah, when I was a kid, I used to eat McDonald's all the time. And but I don't eat that anymore. And, I used to drink Sprite. I could do whatever I wanted.
Yeah.
And then someone said to him, aren't you sponsored by McDonald's? And he's like, oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. I eat sausage McMuffins every day. That's the exact. He basically just said, don't anyone, if you want to stay in shape, eat McDonald's. I get paid like $4 or $5 million a year to endorse it, but there's no way I'm eating it. So he kind of basically blew the whole, the roof off the whole thing by saying, I'm in it for the cash, man. I'm in it for the cash. He was also sponsored by Dunkin' Donuts at the time. And I don't know if he still has his own soft drink, but you kind of figure that, LeBron maybe does pimp his own soft drink, but he ain't drinking it. I mean, you look at the shape that he's in. So I think I want an athlete at one point to stand up and say, yeah, I mean, I know it's money. We all want to make as much money as we can, but I had to turn this down because I'm not eating this stuff. So,
Well, we've had lots of NBA players in their post-game press conferences arrive to the table and basically slap whatever, be it a Gatorade or be it any sort of water brand or whatever that they are not linked with.
Yeah.
I know it's a little different, but they're like, hey, I'm not getting paid to do this. Get out of here. Like Westbrook did it a ton. And Dirk, maybe. Did Dirk do that too?
I thought Dirk.
Yeah.
As well. That's I don't know if you got, some people got Gatorade deals, some of them got All Sport.
Whatever
all those different drinks are. Biofuel? Isn't that one of them? Body Armor or something like that?
Body Armor. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Chris Paul, I feel like, is the only guy who's kind of gone anti-McDonald's, and that's because he eats a plant-based diet, so his advertisement comes at the very end of the movie Game Changers, which he executive produced for Netflix. They're like, hey, Chris Paul, this guy ain't eating McDonald's.
Yeah. I'll go with Anthony Davis and Mobile One Oil. it's just strange because, again, I know next to nothing about cars, but oil or lubricant for your car, that's to help maintain it, right? It's to keep things running there under the hood. And it's just ironic a little bit that Anthony Davis, a guy that it feels like he's out of the lineup every 10 days, like he needs some oil on those joints, and then he's pitching this. And then they also make him super tiny, and they ran with that for a long time. You know all these commercials where he's like, he's either under the car hood or he's on the shelf, and he's this tiny Anthony Davis is pitching you on Mobile One Oil. It's just weird that it's him and that he's tiny, and there's a lot of question marks with it, so... That's my answer.
Yeah, there's some good weird ads out there. If you look into it, you remember Timofey Mozgov doing that local Cavs restaurant back in the day? That was a weird one. Lots of weird ones. Spurs, H-E-B.
Scottie Pippen and
Mr. Submarine.
Submarine back in the 80s or early 90s maybe. Yeah.
Classics.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day, or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
All right, next one here. Hey, no diddlers. The last 18 months have been terrible for all, but personally, it has been like a Draymond Green kick to the beanbag. Professionally, as a chef, my industry has essentially been shut down. I am currently going through a divorce from my partner of the last decade, and to finish it off with a bang, I came down with some sort of stomach illness that left me unable to eat solid food for a week straight. No job, no partner, no health. But enough with the sad stuff. I'm doing a bit better after completely revamping my diet. Gone is the processed sugar, gluten, wheat, dairy, aka everything good, and in are whole foods, nuts, seeds, and alternative, healthier foodstuffs. Cue your ad for Magic Spoon. Oh, baby, was I pumped. Cereal without processed sugar, 11 grams of protein, and only 3 net grams of carbs per serving, and it's gluten, grain, and soy-free. Like Skeetsy says, honestly, it seemed too good to be true. I got on the site, picked my 4 flavors, give me that limited edition gingerbread, baby.
Whoa.
Never tried that.
No.
Baby.
And for the first time in weeks, I was actually excited to eat, salivating even. I proceeded to the checkout page and scrolled on down to country. Wait, what's this? No option to ship to Canada? Wow, my dreams were seriously dashed. So I ask you, fine gentlemen, when have you been on the precipice of joy while ordering something only to be shut down? Thanks and lots of love. Burnt duck, whoopie pies, colostrum. Whoa. That's from Danny Boy on the Danforth in Toronto. Danny Boy, hope you're doing better. And if you're still in the market, Magic Spoon now does deliver to Canada. Confirmed. U.S. and Canada shipping. My answer to this, on the precipice of joy while ordering something only to be shut down. Well, in 2014... Danielle and I were on our honeymoon. It was a delayed honeymoon. It was 3 years after we got married, but we were in Italy enjoying ourselves very much. And we were on the verge, on the precipice of moving into our first house that we purchased. So we were kind of looking for stuff to put in our house. I mean, it was, if we saw something, a home good, we would purchase it. And we were in Venice, and we were outside a store, and we saw this little statuette. That basically, it's an angel. It was an angel that kind of, it was giving off a what the fuck vibe, this little statuette. And we thought,
The angel was saying that, or you look at it and you're like, yeah, that's a crazy angel.
Which one?
Yeah, no, it's vibe, it's okay. Mannerisms, it's body position.
The angel can't believe
okay.
it.
It was saying, what the fuck? And I'll show it to you guys in a sec here if you're okay. watching on YouTube. But we didn't purchase it. We didn't go in. And then I kind of regretted it. A couple weeks later, I mean, this is just a tiny shop in Venice. Right. But after we got home, I thought, you know, maybe I'll try and find it, get it shipped for some stupid reason. I'm bored. I'll go search it out. I went into Google Maps, and I had no idea what the store was or anything. But I tracked down the streets, and I found it. I found the image. Thank God for Google Maps and those cars driving around. Well, I guess there's just people walking around with these cameras because you can't drive and find this in Venice. But it's an angel with its hand out saying, like, it's either, like, give me something or we're in the what the fuck vibe.
So
but anyways,
how big is that? I can't tell. Is that 2 feet big?
Yeah, like it's 2-3 feet big.
Okay, it's
something
big.
Like that. Yeah, it's big enough. But anyways, I passed it up. I didn't order it. I wasn't going to order this from Venice. But we liked it. It was cool. Anyways, not going to order it.
I agree, though. When you see it, it does have like, it does like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Amazing.
Anybody else?
If that ever shows up on GeoGuessr, though, you're going to know right away. You're going to be like, Venice.
Yeah.
Put the pin down.
Yeah,
that's
incredible. That is the image from Google Maps.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna ask. That's amazing. Yeah. And creepy.
It is kind of creepy. You can see freaking anything. Yeah.
And why? How does Google know that's not a real human? Because usually they blur out the faces.
Oh, that's a good point. I don't know.
It's like, that's a what the fuck angel. Don't worry about it. No, nobody's gonna buy that. It's gonna stay there forever. All right. Well, crazy. I can't beat that. Lee, you got one?
Well, similar, I guess. Not really similar, actually, but I was out of the country, and I was in Mexico. I was on the beach. And just after Mexico, we were actually heading over to Rome catch up with some family and friends. And while I was there, I noticed the Champions League schedule just came out, and it was Barcelona versus Rome at the Olympic Stadium. And I was like, oh, my God, I've got to get a ticket for that. So I went to the ticket site and I'm putting in all my details, but because my phone's IP address was in Mexico and my home credit card address was the US, it would not allow me to purchase a ticket because it sort of felt like it was a scam or something like that. And so I was like, you know, Barcelona, Rome, come on, Messi's playing, you know, like I've got to see this game, and I couldn't get it. And eventually I did, but it wasn't until I actually landed in Rome where I were able to get a ticket there, but I had to buy it off like a secondhand site, so I had to pay more for it. But I was just like getting so pumped to be able to get this ticket, and then I couldn't buy it. And I tried like my wife's phone, I tried on the iPad, because I thought maybe it's just some little problem with my phone. But no, nothing would let me purchase a seat while I was in Mexico and trying to bill back to my my address. So, oh man, I was so glad I got in there in the end. But at the time, I was like, I'm going to miss out. Barcelona, Rome's going to sell out. There's no way I'm going to get a ticket. But I got one in the end. But oh man, I was angry at the time. I was on the beach and I was like, you know, when you just refresh, I'll try again in an hour's time. I'll try again in 2 hours' time. And I get all that way. Like, yep, you buy a seat, you know, confirm it in your shopping cart. And then you put in your details and it's like, don't press refresh, don't press refresh, because it's processing the payment. And then it says decline. And it wouldn't tell me why. It wouldn't say specifically why, but I'm like, I know why. You don't have to tell me.
Right. I've been there before. Yeah, you order with a foreign card. Actually, on that same trip, I was in Spain and went to the FIBA game and I was trying to order online in Spain. Couldn't do it. Took me forever. I had to call the credit card company to make it happen. Yeah. And then I went.
Whoa. Trey?
Technology, man.
Do you have an answer?
Yeah, for me, it's Rancho Gordo beans. I started getting deep into the beans game with Danielle and Nora, actually, right before the pandemic hit. Thought, I'm going to just stock up on dried beans. Everybody was stocking up on dried beans at that point, and that turned out to be a problem for Rancho Gordo. They had no beans for the longest time, but it looks like the beans are back, ladies and gentlemen. That's great news, because I seriously have some bean amends to make to Danielle, to Nora, to Tass, to Skeets, because my last bag of Rancho Gordos, I was saving it for a special day. I was like, all right, I got one bag. They're not selling them now.
Right.
Finally figure out a time to get together. I think it's time. Mm-hmm. Bring in the beans. Baking the beans. Soaked them overnight, 10 plus hours. Started cooking them in the morning before we came over. 2.5 hours. Beans weren't done. Went over to Skeets' house. Hey, I'm just going to throw these beans on your stove here real quick. Just got to heat up these beans. They're almost done. You know, I soaked them overnight. It should be fine. They should be nice and tender. Got a nice gravy going on these beans. Ended up cooking those beans for hours and hours and hours on your stove. I thought I was being a good guy, bringing over some baked beans for the friends. Turns out I just made your house smell like beans for an entire day. An entire day. It was like burning a candle that only smells like baked beans. So I'm hoping to be able to make it up to you at some point here. I guess the key, Danielle says, is you got to soak them for even longer than 10 hours. Wow, you got to soak them for like 24 hours. I guess these heirloom beans are extra hard. I don't know why. I'm not a master cocker.
All right. JD, by the way, make sure you jump in if you have answers to any of these questions.
Yeah, I got nothing for this one, but I'll jump in.
Okay, good. Well, maybe this next one. Enjoying the Zebra ad read for the mention of Billions, as it is a show you should be watching. Spoiler alert, Dominique Wilkins makes a cameo in the latest season, making it even better. Wow, all right. My question, which show would be must watch with the addition of an NBA player, past or present? For me, I would add Magic Johnson as a shark on Shark Tank, just to hear his tweets in real life as he recaps every detail of the deal. That's a great call. This is from Sean in Melbourne. So, Trey, which show would be even better with the addition of an NBA player, past or present?
Magic Johnson on Shark Tank. That's pretty good.
That's good. That's really good.
Yeah, that's nice. Little breaking news real quick, though. I did start watching Billions 1.5 episodes in. I'm not sure I'm totally committed here. It feels a little entourage-y to me, but I don't know. I'll stick it out. Okay. Yeah, we'll see how it goes. Anyways, for me, basically any time an NBA player appears on a reality show, I'm in. You know, we loved Cliff Robinson and Scott Pollard on Survivor. I would love to see somebody show up on Below Deck. Like, I think Magic Johnson would be great on Below Deck. He's taken a cruise all around the Mediterranean on a huge yacht already, but I'd also like to see some scripted cameos. So how about a show called Oki? It's Shaquille O'Neal in Loki. He's going back through times, encountering old teammates, chasing down variant Shaqs like Steel Shaq, Kazam Shaq, Rapper Shaq, Cop Shaq, Shaq with just sideburns, Taco Neck Shaq. There's a lot of different Shaq personas we've seen throughout the years. Let's go have him meet all of his former selves. I think that's, at the very least, a perfect Inside the NBA bit.
I love it. It's good.
Nice. Okie.
I also, I'll just, you brought it up, so I'll just slip in my answer here. You said Below Deck. You threw out the idea of like somebody being the guest on Below Deck, but let's go next level with it. Imagine a bunch of 7-foot NBA players having to work on the boat Below Deck. I mean, we saw that one guy on one of the versions. He was like your size, Trey, and he like, he couldn't fit in the bunk. Like, he couldn't even...
The bunk beds
like,
are
get
tiny.
Around the boat. It's under... Yeah, beneath the belly of a boat. Yeah, it's tiny down there. I don't care how big these yachts are. So any of these, like, former Giants, current Giants, like Mutombo trying to, like, be, like, a, you know, like just working on one of these things would be hilarious. And it'd be even better if it was all NBA players trying to run this thing. So that's my answer, just to piggyback off your Magic Johnson suggestion. What do you got, Tess?
Well, I've recently been watching the Norm Macdonald Show on Netflix. It's him, you know, doing interviews. It's a standard interview show, but in Norm Macdonald's crazy, crazy way, where a lot of the guests feel pretty awkward talking to Norm Macdonald, as they should, and it's amazing. In fact, David Letterman just walked off because it was partly bit, partly... I've had enough of these weird questions here from Norm Macdonald. So I think... A guy who emotes a lot, a basketball player who just wouldn't put up with Norm Macdonald's weird bits, could be Russell Westbrook. I think Russell Westbrook would create a billion memes. Now, it may be like an 8-minute show because I don't think Russell Westbrook would answer many questions from Norm Macdonald. I think he would just, you know, look at him funny like a lot of his guests do. But I could see that happen. I could see that as a real awkward... You know, sort of like the David Letterman episode happened there. I don't know if you guys have watched it, but it's a couple of years ago. And I know you guys are Norm Macdonald fans, but it was a 10 episode. Just it lasted one season. And one of the best things Norm Macdonald did say while he was doing all these interviews was, you know what one of the hardest things about this show is? It's that I get $2 million an episode and it's just, you know, there's only so many things you can do with money. And it lasted 10 episodes.
Is it the one where it's like a pretty shitty looking little studio and it's like, really bare bones? Yeah, I've seen most of them. And I think I have seen the Letterman one too. And it's, I mean, you got to like Norm Macdonald to like it for sure. Because it's his type of show. It goes off the rails for sure. Okay, so Westbrook, Norm Macdonald, I love
it. What a mix. You're never sure if... Either of them is serious anytime they're asking a question or answering it, or if they're upset or if they're happy, impossible to read.
Yeah, I have had the pleasure of talking to Russell Westbrook. I think it's just once, and he said one word to me, but it's probably, you know, one of my most memorable conversations when I asked him if he is a cat or a dog, and he said, I'm a wolf.
Wolf, yeah. That's good. It's a good answer. Yeah,
it's a great answer.
To a very weird question. That's a great answer. Lee, what do you got? Who are you putting on a show?
Well, so you guys have mentioned there has been a few former NBA players on Survivor. So I'm going to throw two names out because I think they've got the opposite personalities. And I'm just not sure who would be more successful. I think Joel Embiid is the first one because he's a pretty charming, charismatic guy. But would that be bad on Survivor? Would people try to get rid of him because he's, you know, too charming? And then the opposite is Kawhi Leonard. Like, what would you do with Kawhi Leonard on Survivor? Would he be the ultimate, like, you know, impossible to read this guy? You know, so people try to keep him close. Or would they be like, oh, man, we've got to get rid of him. He's conniving. Whereas, you know, Joel Embiid's all fun and games. He'd laugh. He'd have some fun. But imagine some of those challenges. I think Kawhi would be like, you know, he'd be very hard to beat. So would you want to get rid of him early on? You know, because I can sort of see Joel Embiid not taking it fully seriously on some of those.
Be a bit of a goof.
Yeah, and he'd fall over. And people would go, see, I don't think he's that serious. Whereas Kawhi, it's like he's so serious. You want to sort of drag him along for a bit and then dump him. So I don't know. What do you guys think? Who would be...
great question. I actually could see Kawhi going very far because he wouldn't say anything. He would never get himself in trouble in terms of like backstabbing or lying. Mm. But I don't think he'd ever have a great case to be made at the end. Like, if he got to the end, I couldn't see him winning because I'd have to, like, imagine him trying to talk to the jury and explain his game, and I don't see that going very well. So I see him getting to the end, but I don't see him ultimately winning. And Embiid's tough. Like, I get the goofy factor. He's charming for sure.
Yeah.
He would step on toes. People would get upset with Embiid in a different way than they would with Kawhi. Kawhi, though, is 2-0. Or I guess 2-1 in NBA Finals, right?
Right.
So he does show up in the clutch. Yeah. Maybe he would have some great answers. But I would love to see them pick somebody on Survivor that is not obviously a basketball player, right? Like, Cliff Robinson was 6'10".
Yeah.
Scott Pollard, 6'11", or whatever. Kawhi, you're going to know he's a basketball player. Joel Embiid, you're going to know he's a basketball player. Like, Chris Paul? You know, like, he doesn't have, like, a freakish athletic-looking body compared to a lot of normal people. Like, Jeff Kent was out there. That guy won an MVP in baseball, and they were just like, this guy's just an asshole. There's just, like, some redneck asshole out here. If you're normal-looking enough, like, maybe you're able to skate by a little bit more. Like, Chris Paul could easily convince people that he's just, like, a manager somewhere. Like, he just, like, runs businesses with
he's
the way
he's
into
insurance.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right. I would love to see... basically throw a guard out there. Let's see a guard on Survivor.
Kyle Lowry would be awesome. Wow. He would be awesome on Survivor, I think.
Yeah, he'd be great in confessionals. Like, he doesn't give a shit. Like, he doesn't give a shit with the Toronto reporters. Like, he's always making fun of them. So it'd be funny. I always said I wanted Steve Blake on Survivor for that very reason, what you were saying, Trey. It's like, who is going to know that's Steve Blake? I don't think anybody. Right. It's like... it just makes it a little more interesting. You're right. In the set, we would know who it is, of course, and a lot of NBA fans would. But yeah, them out there, they wouldn't know. Like, even Lowry, though, I'm with you. Like, a casual basketball fan,
I think he could skate by.
I don't think is going to know Lowry. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Agreed.
All right. Good. Good answers there, guys.
I don't know why brainstorm.
I'm just saying good job, everybody. Let's keep it going here down the home stretch here. Yeah.
What up, no dinks? I sent an email a while back explaining why I despise Magic Spoon ad reads. I would now like to completely reverse my position since they now ship to Canada. It's true. We did not write this. I got my first variety case a couple of days ago, and I'm loving every single bite. What's one time you initially hated something only to eventually warm up to it? Keep pumping the classics. That's from Justin in Vancouver, BC. Thank you, Justin, for the email. For me, it's parsley, the herb.
Wow.
I think I had a bad experience once upon a time. Mm. But I can't remember it. Maybe I blocked it out on purpose. I'm not sure. But I despised it. Kind of like, you know, people have bad experiences with a particular alcohol. I won't touch tequila. not because you don't like it. You don't like tequila? That's just because you had a bad experience.
Right.
You're drinking crappy tequila, most likely, like we all have in the past. Because good tequila... is good tequila. Also comes from an herb. Well, it comes from a plant, I guess. Anyway, parsley for me. My wife is from that part of the world where they make parsley everything. So I've had to acclimatize. I've had to jump back on the parsley ship. It took me a while. But I'm back. I'm eating parsley straight up now. No, not quite. But, I hate it. I used to hate it.
What the bad experience was with parsley? That's the fascinating part.
I don't know.
That something stuck with you for so long. You're like, nah, I don't like it. I wonder.
Yeah, it could have been. You've blocked it out. Could have been a vom experience. Like, for some reason, I got sick and parsley was, you know, on the tongue kind of thing. You know?
Oh, boy.
No idea. No idea, really. But for me, that's how I bounced back, just like Justin has bounced back. What's one time, anybody, you initially hated something?
I'll jump in because, again, I'm on the same sort of wavelength as you here today, Tass, because it's cilantro for me. and it was the same when I met my wife, Roxanne. I used to hate, like, it's called coriander in different parts of the world, and it really is a powerful flavor. You can always taste it in whatever dish, and I hated it. Meet a Peruvian girl, and all of a sudden you're getting coriander, cilantro in all sorts of things, especially ceviche. Ceviche, I mean, the whole ceviche thing really was something that I discovered when I met my wife. And now I'm like, if I'm having something in Peru and there's no, like, little, you know, garnish of cilantro there, I'm like, hey, anyone got some cilantro? I just need a dash. I mean, it's funny because I can still taste it, right, as powerful as anything. It's overpowering, more so than a parsley. You know, I think parsley doesn't have quite the same power and pop behind it. But now I'm like,
the working man's cilantro.
Exactly. But now I'm like,
give me some of that cilantro, man. I'm in all over it. So, you know, you can use it as a garnish, but especially in that ceviche, man. It's it's great stuff.
Yeah. I love both.
You know, it's one thing I just learned, Lee, as you're saying that. I looked up coriander, and coriander, also known as Chinese parsley. Weird.
A crossover. Coriander is parsley. It's not also cilantro.
It's both. It's also known as Chinese parsley, danya, or cilantro.
Wow.
Whatever. Danya.
It could be all of them. Okay.
It's everywhere. So you're getting it one way or another. You're getting parsley or cilantro.
You better learn to like it.
Yeah.
All right. I love it. I'll go next. And actually, it's really Trey that I can, quote unquote, blame for getting me into this. It's NFTs. It's those non-fungible tokens. And I'm not saying to say I hated them, but I was, like most people, confused. A little like questionable about, come on, what is this whole thing? Well, now look at me, I'm into Top Shot. Okay, duh, we do the Top Shot Hot Boys. I got Freaks, I got Cool Cats, Bulls on the Block, Alien Boys, Exoplanets, Pixels, Crypto Pervs. I own something called Baby Toot. That's a crypto perv that I own. And I love it. The communities with a lot of these are really fun, and I'm really enjoying it. But definitely at the beginning was like, what? And it started with the Top Shot. It was like, well, why would I want that? Why would I ever desire to have a Lowry 15-second clip that I own? But no, look at me now. I got Baby Toot.
Yeah, back in the day, a Baby Toot was just a 360 jump fart. Now
exactly.
This guy's holding an asset. Couldn't hold his asset before. New technologies, though, man. They're scary at first.
For sure.
They're scary at first. That's, you know, like I'm famous. Everybody's talking about it. This guy hated Slack. This guy, are you kidding me? Oh, he thought WhatsApp was going to be the jam from here on out. But no, I mean, when you see something new, it's going to be weird. You're like, what's this all about? Why would I ever use this? And then suddenly, you've got a reason to use it. And that's where my answer comes from as well. My mom tried to get me to install the one-finger swiping keyboard for the longest time on a phone, you know, where you're you just like, you hover over T-H-E and it throws in a the, and then it gives you your space and you can go on typing. I'm like, Mom, why would I ever do this? I know how to type with two fingers. And then I sliced the tip of my thumb off and I couldn't use that thumb to be tapping around. I was ready to be swiping, baby. And now I love it. Wow. I love it to the point now where I'll be like, I'll catch myself typing with two thumbs being like, you're wasting time, buddy. You could be doing this one-handed, no problem. It's a weird thing to get used to, but I do like the smoothness of it.
I can't get used to it. I've tried, and I think you just got to commit to it for a little bit.
That's right. Snip the end of your left thumb off, and then you will definitely fall in love with it.
Yeah, that's a good call. You can get pretty damn quick with it, that's for sure. I'm like, I'm slowly. I got to feel, you must be a slow texter, typer. Like, you're not fast. We're not fast. Well, the kids nowadays.
Yeah, no, nothing like that. I find the Apple keyboard still a little, like, too, I don't know if I've got a big fat thumb or if it's just a little bit too sensitive sometimes. You know what I mean? Like, you're typing, you feel like you're hitting the same thing over and over and over, but it'll just sort of shuffle around for what's nearby.
Right.
So, yeah. But I try to basically just always pick on the suggested text, so I am actually texting less anyway. And sometimes it's like, this isn't grammatically correct, but it's close enough, they'll figure it out. So, you know.
Okay. Awesome.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
All right, a few more questions here. Hey, below the rimmers, I shave my downstairs with Manscaped. I eat Magic Spoon cereal, now available in Canada. I have 3 No Dunks Starters t-shirts. I will eventually use ED drugs. I say narvis instead of nervous, and I pronounce salmon, salmon. My question is, how am I not guest starring on your show? Just kidding. Maybe. My question is, though, really, if you guys could rep any brand in the world, what would it be and why? Mine would be Icy Hot, because my 40-year-old bod is sore as F. Love the show and everything you guys do. That's from Judd up in Kenora. P.S. Started running back in November, and I usually listen to you guys or binge mode. Shout out to Jason and Mallory. Sad to hear Skeets spends more time picking up dog shit than hitting the pavement. Yeah, I talked about how my running had fallen off a little bit ever since I got a dog. We'll get back out there. Don't you worry. I'll go first. If I could rep any brand in the world, and I actually say, like, this is personally, but I think this would work well for us collectively. It is the NBA Jam arcade machine from Arcade 1-Up. And I say that because, like, we should be, it'd be cool if, like, we pitched it because we could also be in the game. Like, we could have, like, all 4 of us in there. Hell, even throw JD, a little secret character in there. Mm. And it makes sense. There are 4 of us talking about basketball on a daily basis. There's 4 controllers there. You're playing about the NBA. We're old. That makes sense, too. You know, we were coming up in the 90s in the heyday when this thing was launched in 93, I believe. So, you know, and I also want one of these. So that'd be great if we pitched it. I could finally get one. I keep talking about buying one. And I had a deal with Nora that if we ever bought a house, I got to get one. And I just haven't, you know, followed through on that yet. So
got a dog and a crypto perv instead.
That's right, man. Hey, by the way, I'm looking to sell my baby toot, which is Baby Groot, really. They had to call it Baby Toot for legal reasons. So if you're interested, holler at me. But yeah, that'd be perfect, wouldn't it?
Yeah. It'd be awesome to be an unlockable character with a gigantic head. Oh, awesome. So good. We've got a talented community out there. Somebody could make a port of this and throw the No Dunks crew in there as playable characters. I have no doubt in my mind. And if that happens, Skeets, then you do have to purchase this.
Oh, for sure.
You must.
For sure. I do really got to buy this. Because, like, look at these guys. That could be me there. That could be me and Tats.
Yeah, that's what I would say it is, too. Though. Yeah, that sort of looks like a very tall version of you.
Yeah.
Well, it's a smaller arcade. Right?
Okay, good point.
These aren't giant.
I guess you're not 9.5 feet tall, these guys.
It's towering.
Yeah. Those buttons look super tiny in that giant's hand.
Well, again, guys, it's not the original 93 arcade set. You can buy that. That's like $3,000-$4,000, though. Mm. And then you got to get that shipped to you. That's going to cost a fortune. Mm. Now I don't have a lot of stairs in my house. You know, only 2 stairs up into my place.
Simple.
Yeah. If anyone should get the real one, it'd be me.
Yeah.
Right?
It'll hold its value, too. You know, it's one of those things that, like, the 93 version, people are always going to want that version.
Yeah,
so.
But I feel like it could break easier, and then I got to worry about getting it fixed. Like, this new one is cool, Lee, because we could all get one, and we will once we're ultimately pitchmen for it, and we can play online. It's all through Wi-Fi. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that'd be amazing. Yeah. And we could just stream it. There's no more content. Would people watch us? Like Twitch? I mean,
yeah, they would. That's the thing.
Pays for itself, Skeets.
Thank you. Okay, I'll go get one.
Yeah. People will watch anything these days. So
Yeah, exactly.
I know. I know.
We're fucking talking about Magic Spoon like 10 times in the last 30 minutes. People are loving it. Okay, so what do you got, Lee?
Yeah, well, look, I think putting money into a car is just money down the drain. Like, you need a car that's safe and reliable. But, you know, so I tend to buy a car that is, you know, efficient. I'm not, you know, pumping money into it. So I'd love to be sponsored by, like, you know, again, go back to the first question. I think, like, Ferrari or Porsche, and have someone else just say, here is an awesome car. And guess what? It costs you nothing. It breaks down. We'll fix it for free.
So you would be a sellout, you're admitting.
Absolutely. Because, Yeah. Because I would not ever pay that sort of money for a car for the insurance and all that anyway. But if someone said, here you go, just drive this around and be our brand spokesman, I'd be like, okay, yeah, I can do that.
Right.
And then, so when I drive over a screw or a nail on the ground and I puncture it, I can just get them to come along and fix it, and there's no cost to me. I'll try to make it an electric vehicle too, if they could. I'm trying to be environmentally friendly, but those machines aren't too good. But I'd also want
a four-seater Ferrari at least as well. You don't get too many of those. They tend to be two-seaters. But,
so that you take the whole fam around.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then I'd also like someone to follow along in behind me so that when I do park it at the supermarket, you know, you've got someone watching out for it. Because that's what I hear. A lot of people have problems with their Ferraris. It's like you can't drive it and leave it anywhere because it draws so much attention. So, you know.
So you want somebody to drive behind you and just watch your car while you're doing your errand.
Basically, yeah. All yeah, right. yeah, yeah. So then I know it's like I'm getting a cool car, but I'm not paying for it because, you know, that's just money down the drain, man. Don't spend money on cars.
Okay. If Ferrari gave you a car, top of the line 2021 Testarossa.
Yeah.
Custom with four seats. Would you pay the insurance? The insurance is still going to be very expensive.
I know. The insurance, I would think
no?
would be...
He's well, saying no.
I'm saying the insurance would be like thousands of dollars a month, I think, for that. So, you know, it wouldn't be worth it in the end because you'd be paying for that money. You could buy yourself another car.
Well, did you check Zebra or not?
No, I didn't.
Do I have the right?
Okay, yeah, I think that's him. Yeah. Someone like
that. Yeah, Zebra, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that's the problem. It's you know, there's just it's not just the cost of the car, it's then the repair costs as well. I mean, you lose a screw in that and all of a sudden that's like $9,000. Insurance, the maintenance, the upkeep, you know.
Good, clean it.
Oh, I don't mind cleaning it. I mean, I clean my own car.
Oh, I'm just they got to pay for the electricity on the vacuum.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'd put that off as an expense as well. I'd put all that into it.
Would you, if you did have this sweet deal, this hookup, would you... You know, would you be real Mo Verney about it? Would you be blasting a lot of grams about your car and, you know, doing some 360s around it and standing outside of it with the door open, tagging it all up?
Yeah. Okay. It wouldn't be red either. It would be midnight blue, my one. I think that's a cooler color for a Ferrari. Because the red's too cliche, you know. You want to be a little bit different.
No. This is midnight blue. It's got four seats.
yeah and the two. I mean, we don't really use the second baby seat anymore, but I'd still put the two baby seats in the back there because that'd be a pretty baller move, wouldn't it, you know?
Okay, yeah.
I think Ferrari did make David Beckham a custom Ferrari at one point in the height of his prime. I don't think it had four seats, but I think they gave him one at one point. So they do them. I mean, you just got to be...
You got to be one of the greatest football players of all time.
Yeah.
Or really good at podcasting. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, Beckham's had his time. I'm still on the way up. Maybe it'll happen one day.
Okay. Trey, what do you got?
Well, I want Patagonia to sponsor C-ball season so I can go all around the world doing cannonballs anywhere they want. You know, I'm wearing Patagonia baggies in the summer, a Patagonia fleece in the winter. We can film all year round. I'll jump in something freezing cold from a very high height. Sure.
Whew, that's going to hurt, man. Those super high jumps. Cannonballs?
Yep.
Your ass is toast.
Your ass is grass.
Yeah. But for you, hey, anything for the show, you know?
Anything for Patagucci, yeah. And that'll be the great thing. I'll be showing off my various wounds to my hindquarters.
Yeah.
And you get a nice little shot of that Patagonia logo.
Very nice. Nice.
What about, have you ever considered a butt pad? Like if you've ever, I don't know if you've ever done any cliff cannonballing, but.
It's true.
I haven't considered a butt pad, but I am now. I mean, it seems like it would help, but I'd feel like I'm faking the funk if I go out there with protective gear. I like to cannonball the way our ancestors did. Wearing a swimsuit.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're not naked. Yeah. I'm really hurt. What do you got, Tass? Product?
Good. Well, yeah, transition from Patagonia, great company, B Corp. I think the company that I would like to sponsor me is a B Corp as well. At least they do good stuff like Patagy. Trade Coffee. They deliver coffee to my door every couple weeks from around the world, from roasters, usually in the U.S. They give the little coffee roaster a boost. They pay him a fair share, fair shake. I have got a little marketing campaign for them. I think we could make happen. It would star me. I'd be in the commercials. And I'm just the everyman who likes to drink coffee. So trying to get people to buy coffee through Trade Coffee. My line would be, I like coffee, but I find it pretty weird that it comes from beans, right? I mean, when you think about it, it's from beans. Yeah, it is weird. I stole that line from Feel Good, a show called Feel Good. But anyways, that, it is weird. It comes from Beats. And then the second iteration of the marketing would be, you know, I like coffee, but it's weird that it comes from berries, right? I mean, it really, beans are in these berries on a tree. Anyway, so it's like there's lots to learn about coffee. And I think me and Trade Coffee, we could hit it off. We could definitely sell some beans, get some roasters, help out those roasters that are picking berries or beans, or I don't even know where coffee comes from, but it's really strange.
Bean berries. No, sure. Gotta harvest your bean berries.
There's something about a Peruvian animal that poos that apparently that is the richest or most expensive coffee beans in the world. Let me see if I can Google it, because I remember something weird like that. Oops.
What are you going to put into Google?
Yeah, be careful.
Peruvian coffee beans.
I've heard of this. It's it's the animal eats the beans, poops them out, and then
they're better.
Those beans are supposedly richer, I guess.
Yeah.
Nuttier.
Nutty.
Yeah.
I saw that in a movie once.
Yeah. I mean, just while if you're still looking that up, like you said, it was called Trade Coffee, right, Tash?
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, there's like a natural trade machine MBA angle there too. Mm-hmm. Like people love trade talk. People don't even care about the games. All they care about is like potential trades, hypothetical trades.
Yeah.
That sort of works nice. There's something there.
Yeah, sure. Trade this roast for that roast. Trade my Ethiopia for your Colombia, you know?
Yeah, throw it in the trade coffee machine. Does it work in the trade coffee machine?
Ooh, that's nice. Sounds good.
Yeah. Good one. Good one. I'll throw in a scooper, you know?
Oh, those are like picks, yeah. Those are like draft picks. Lee, any luck with this animal?
Yeah, it's called a civet or something like that.
Oh, the civet cat, yeah.
Yeah, it's a cat-like creature, apparently, yeah. And it eats them and then rapidly digests them and poops it out. So,
wow. And these are just like amazing beans.
Apparently so. $80 a cup, they say, in the U.S.
Wow.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, cat
poop. You don't buy it, JD, or shaking your head?
I'm sure it's great, but I'm not paying $80 for shit coffee. Literally shit coffee.
Cat shit coffee.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have a quick answer for this one. A few months ago, about 4 or 5 months ago, I started getting this. This company started popping up in my Instagram feed. I was like, ooh, that looks very nice. But I didn't want to pull the trigger for myself. So I started literally just texting Rachel and the kids this house coat from the OAS clothing company for Father's Day, because every Father's Day for the last 14 years, I've basically gotten shafted, right? Like, you know, not even Old Spice. Like, yeah.
Not
you
even
know,
cat shit coffee.
No, nothing. Not even a regular coffee. So I basically just said, get me this for Father's Day. They did. I love it. And this company, I'm going to show you their website right now, and it's just... This is what my neighbors literally see these days. It's just, that's me. That's a 20-year younger version of me.
Oh, my God.
That's and amazing. It's my vibe right now. I live in this house coat. I have the black Octo robe, but it's, and I love it. It's so comfortable, and this is just my vibe, I think, for the rest of my life now. Like,
that's a vibe.
This was sort of a pandemic vibe at first, but now I'm embraced it, and I'm a house coat guy. I've never had a robe, really, but now I do, and I love it.
Wow. I mean, it's so hot down here.
I know.
Yeah, I see spring summer. Like, is it a lightweight fabric?
It's a terry cloth, so it's basically like a towel.
Okay.
And surprisingly not that hot, but
sounds hot.
Are you wearing anything else under it?
Usually not really, no.
Wow.
Yeah. Spicy.
You gotta trust that tie you got going on if you're watering your lawn.
The double winds are going on.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. All right, well, I think we got one more, and it's like story time here at Tess with this
one. Yeah, it's a bit of a book, but it was a good email, so we included it. Last one here. Hey, non-dunkers. This is my first time writing to you guys. I've loved the show since I found it on YouTube during the dumpster fire that was 2020, and I haven't missed a daily pod or beach stepping since.
I've been living in sunny Denver, Colorado for the last 4 years. Long before that, however, I grew up across the Atlantic in Ireland, where the NBA was about as well known as the various forms of cricket are in the Skeets household. So when I moved to the West Chicago suburbs in 2011, just weeks after Derrick Rose won MVP, I got introduced to the league through my uncle. I was educated in the beautiful game by D. Rose, Joakim Noah, Stacey King, and Neil Funk, Coach Tibbs, and Jimmy MF Buckets. I was hooked. I was all on board to watch a Bulls dynasty in my lifetime. It didn't quite go that way, but hey, 10 years on and the Bulls are obviously back. I now live in Denver, where I have my dream job as a cultivator growing Colorado's famous recreational cash crop, and I listen to your pods to pass the time working on the farm. Over time, I began to pick up that my Midwestern brother Trey might have the same extracurricular herbal pastime that I myself enjoy. I guessed this during one of your NBA happy hours where Kirby exhibited the kind of eye strain that even Felix Gray couldn't fix.
Hey, hey. If he's talking about a Colorado cash crop that we're both interested in, I assume he means Celestial Seasonings peppermint tea.
Yeah, of course.
Right?
Yeah.
Peppermint tea.
Yes.
Yeah.
Delicious.
Beautiful out of Colorado.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's why I pronounced it herbal instead of herbal.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, we're talking teas. But yeah,
talking teas.
He squeezed in another sponsor there with Felix Gray.
Well done.
Incredible here. Yeah, that's why we had to include this one. So the other day after work, I got ready to watch the new Star Wars show on Disney Plus, and I started by making myself a bowl of fruity flavored Magic Spoon cereal. Then as I proceeded to pack my other much smaller bowl, I noticed the particular strain I was soon to be partaking in had a curious name. I kid you not, the name of this strain was TK Fruity Pebbles.
Come on, is this real?
Now, first of all, Trey Kirby's Fruity Pebbles is a marketing masterclass. Ding. So congratulations on your success.
I missed that one.
This was just too obvious a sign from the universe that I had to reach out to the nation's leading Bulls are backologist and let him know how his famous Magic Spoon ad reads have resulted in this wonderful purple flower of joy. My question for y'all is, pick an NBA player who was once a star for a particular team, has since gone through the wars, is no longer on that squad, but still holds a special spot in the hearts of those fans and deserves real recognition in the form of returning to that team or getting his number retired. In writing this question, I'm thinking about my favorite player then, now, and always, Derrick Rose. Having a great season and making me watch Knicks games is a special achievement in and of itself. I think he deserves his number retired, but I would just love to see him back on the Bulls. The Bulls are back, but they badly need a point guard, and he is still awesome, so it's not just irrational fan service. Swisher Bros, you burned it here first. Roll up, bloodshot eyes. Awesome. That's from J-Mac.
Wow.
Great email.
Holy.
So, Trey, this is obviously all for you.
Well, I'm going to change my answer to the previous question. I want a strain officially named after me now. Yeah, so J-Mac, let's consult here. Fruity Pebbles, they're a great cereal. They're not even my favorite of the Pebbles. No offense to Fruity Pebbles. I just prefer Cocoa Pebbles. I mean, I didn't think it was going to be controversial.
No, that's the one. You picked the right one.
All right, thank you. As for a player I would like to see come back to a team or have a jersey retired, similar to J-Mac, Joakim Noah is the Chicago Bull for me. I thought they would have brought him along as like some sort of a bench coach, perhaps, or just like the Udonis Haslam veteran leader. When Billy Donovan took over as the head coach, Donovan obviously coached Noah to two championships back in Florida, and Noah still has a connection to Chicago. Every time he comes back, they show him on the Jumbotron, and people go crazy. But like J-Mac is saying, Derrick Rose also played with Joakim Noah during that time period. Jimmy Butler, Luol Deng, Tom Thibodeau. That was the best Bulls era since they won the championships. But it kind of feels like it's going to be tough to honor that team because the Bulls haven't retired a whole bunch of jerseys. Like, Dennis Rodman doesn't even have his jersey retired by the Bulls yet, so I doubt Joakim Noah's going to. Like, they're just not a franchise that retires a whole bunch of jerseys. Derrick Rose, I suppose, has a little bit more of a case since he did win MVP, but even then, didn't put a championship up in the rafters. So I wonder, you know, for a team like the Bulls that isn't a big retiring kind of team that has the championships in the past that the next era didn't quite get to. Is that just a good team that you're going to have been there to remember? Maybe so.
That's a good point. I hadn't even realized that Rodman's jersey number is not retired. The Pistons did, though, right? With Rodman?
Yeah, they did. But then Greg Monroe wore it, and so did Stanley Johnson, I think it was.
So
it was
the,
yeah, they
I
said
I don't really care about that that much.
Yeah, it's
like,
weird,
nobody
though.
Nobody can wear the number. Yeah, it's a little weird. Yeah.
You know, because I don't think there's anyone else where that's happened, where like Larry Nance in Cleveland, but that was obviously because it was his own father, so they they didn't unretire, but they allowed him to wear it. But Greg Monroe, Dennis Rodman? Anyway, yeah. Well, I'll just jump in and I'll just say I still think that Russell Westbrook can return to OKC at some point. I don't think there's, I don't think the fan, like Kevin Durant, not so much, even though Kevin Durant was a better player, you know, and, he is sort of regarded, you know, as the best player of that franchise, but he left under slightly more acrimonious circumstances. I think Westbrook was more like, they were like, fair enough at this point, he moved on. I think if Westbrook was to go back there in 2 or 3 years' time, I think they would. I think he. Now they don't really retire numbers there either, do they? But they can't really retire Westbrook's if they don't retire Durant's. But I just wonder how the franchise feels about that.
Yeah, they can. They could.
You think so?
They could. 100% could.
At the very least, I think they'll do Westbrook first.
Yeah, before Durant.
Yeah. The main point being is I think that Westbrook could return a little easier than Durant could just because they left under different circumstances.
Sure. Yeah.
Even though clearly Durant is a better player than Westbrook. But Westbrook, it was kind of like, it's fine. You can go somewhere else and try to win a championship. But wouldn't be surprised if he does that too in his last year, just sort of returns there. And
Could sort of see it happening.
Yeah.
I think it's possibly realistic. Tass, is there a former Raptor that you would... I guess, like, currently playing or one that you wish had made its way back to the Raps? Oh,
you know it, man. You know DeMar DeRozan's the guy. The number one guy to at least be honored. I mean, Raptors don't necessarily aren't going to pine for him to come play there right now. They may go rebuilding mode. Who the heck knows? But, I mean, as far as retiring goes, I think that's a lock. They're going to retire his jersey.
Mm-hmm.
At some point. So that was a...
So what? There are four locks that the Raptors will do in DeRozan, in Lowry, in Bosch, and in Vince Carter.
Three for
not,
sure.
Not in that order, I'm saying, but... Okay.
Yeah, Bosch is a lock, I guess.
Maybe not.
He's entered the conversation just because he's entered the Hall of Fame conversation. So I think now it's like, well, he spent 7 years there, retire his number. But if he gets retired by the Heat, which
he is already retired by the Heat.
Oh, right. They got on that real quick.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think the Raps do. Okay.
Yeah, I think as well. I think because he also sort of... Well, Vince did the same, didn't he?
If you're gonna hold it over Bosh...
But Vince definitely, you know, put them out there, put the Raptors on the map and you know, really gave them a voice in the NBA world. Bosh came along, was great. And then he joined. I don't know.
God, this guy's torn, man.
Well, what about Kawhi Leonard? I mean, does he get his retired?
I don't think so. No. Mm-hmm. No, I think some sort of longevity has to come into play, usually when it comes to retiring numbers. That's just my personal preference.
Yeah.
I just find it a little weird.
It's definitely weird.
But actually leaves.
Yeah.
It was like, God, we love you. But they do. They do love him. I think it's perfect the way it is. I mean, like... There's nobody like he comes back and there's not people booing him. They're like, oh God, thank you so much.
Yeah.
But I think it's going a little overboard to retire his number for one season. I don't know.
I wonder how it happens with the Spurs. The Spurs is an interesting one for Kawhi.
Especially now with some bad blood between them.
Yeah.
The organization and their camp. I don't know. Trey, what do you think as a, you know, no dog in the race really when it comes to the Raps? Like, you think the Raps will or should, or is it ridiculous to even consider retiring Kawhi Leonard's number?
I don't think it's ridiculous. I think he made the biggest shot in franchise history and won their title for him. So they're going to do something. I mean, though we've talked about in the past, maybe he gets a statue or something like that. But I mean, isn't a statue kind of even
bigger,
more permanent and a bigger deal than
big
getting
time.
Your number retired? They should do something for him. But, you know, with a team like the Raptors, they don't have any retired jerseys yet, right? Like,
no.
It's to be seen what they're going to do. Like, you look at the Spurs, and they've retired a ton of uniforms. Like, Bruce Bowen has his uniform retired. So maybe Kawhi, he won a finals MVP for the Spurs. You know, like, how do you not retire his uniform just because you're mad when he left? Maybe so. I mean, certainly that's a chance, but I don't know, that's a weird one. And I mean, Kevin Durant's even an odd choice. The guy is the best player in the history of the Oklahoma City Thunder by a mile. He should have his jersey retired by the Thunder yesterday.
Right.
Won four scoring titles there. But
Didn't someone wear his number, though? I think in the first season they wouldn't allow it, but since then they've kind of... other guys have been wearing that number now, too.
Have they had a 35?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, it sounds right.
That came up with James Harden.
Yeah.
They definitely had a 13.
Mm-hmm. Crazy stuff. Any other answers to this one? If anybody hasn't got their say in, I can't remember who answered at this point.
I think it's you.
I don't got anything, so that's perfect. Is it just me? I just want to make sure I wasn't leaving anybody out. These were great questions. This was a lot of fun. You know, at first I'm like, this isn't going to be interesting. What do you mean? Like an all sponsors beach stepping question? But these are bangers. These are great questions. So thank you so much to everybody that sent them in, especially to J-Max sending in that novel. Very tough, as you know. Tass does a lot of the selecting with the cues. Tough to get a long one in, Tass. And like, you know, it was just too good. We had to share it. We had to read it on the show. So good stuff, J-Mac. Good stuff to everybody that got one read here today. Keep your questions coming. NBA questions, non-NBA questions. The best and easiest way to do so is to email them in to nodunks@theathletic.com. You can tweet them into @nodunksinc, that's INC, or leave them in the YouTube comments below this video is also your third way to try and get it in front of our eyeballs. Guys, fun stuff. Thanks again to everybody. We'll see you soon here in the summer. Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember the guy who wore Kevin Durant's 35 in OKC after he left? PJ Dozier.
Ah! Wow.
There's a trivia question for you. And remember, they didn't want to remind people that they traded James Harden, so they didn't want guys to wear 13 for a while, if I'm not mistaken.
Tons of guys have won it though.
Yeah, then they got Nazi Muhammad, Paul George.
Paul George.
Yeah. Justin Patton, was he one I saw?
Maybe. Yeah.
Dort, when are they going to retire Dort's number?
Oh my goodness. You could stay, every day, and I'd be happy.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.